3:39 on the day before July 4th. So many of you have today off already, enjoying a nice long. Well, I was getting text messages of people as they were on their way up to the cabin. It's a lot of traffic. It's a lot of traffic. That is for sure. For sure. Andrew Zimmern coming up in about an hour. Andrew will be on to talk about Taste of Minnesota. Taste of Minnesota going on. It's going to be dang hot, I'll tell you that much. But Andrew will be with us in just a little bit to talk about that. Josh, we good? We have Rob with us on the phone.
We are working on it right now. Having some phone issues. I'm trying to work through. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you let me know when we get him. We want to talk to Rob Doerr about a column he wrote for the Star Tribune. He wrote all about this idea that I've been sort of advocating, the reality that, you know, you have to go through a metal detector to go to a concert, to go to a sporting event. The thought, especially in the wake of the assassination of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark, the attack on State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, and then two more houses that Vance Belter went to with the intent to kill, the harsh reality that state legislators have been specifically targeted, to me says we cannot continue what I've always felt is the right way to go, which is to have the state capitol be as open as possible. I think having our capitol be open, and the fact that you or me or Josh or anybody can walk up the state capitol and walk right in and attend a session or go to a hearing or go to a legislator's office, all of this stuff, I think is incredible. And to me, it's a luxury that we just, it's too dangerous. It's just out of touch with reality now. But Rob's piece in the Minnesota Star Tribune, I think, is worth considering as well. The headline, "Don't Rush into Mandatory Screenings, Metal Detectors, or Gun Bans at the Minnesota Capitol." And Rob is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline right now. Rob, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
All right. You present, I think my view on this has been sort of the dominant view right now, which is why I wanted to bring you on to share your perspective, because I look at so many parts of life where we go through some sort of security. And the Capitol in Minnesota has been sort of a standout. I think it's been charming and wonderful that it's been an exception to a really a world that has so much security now. Why do you think it should still stay that way?
Well, you know, I'm not probably as far away from you as you might think. My concerns are that we implement security in a way that makes it a chilling factor on people's, both their First and their Second Amendment rights. Is, you know, obviously everybody looks at me for the Second Amendment defense, but right. my love is, first love is the First Amendment. And I my concern is that staff, you know, the implementation of mandatory screenings and things like that would become so bottlenecked and cumbersome that people would be deterred from being able to have open and access to their government.
So some of the suggestions that people are talking about involve like metal detectors, having a screening. And then there also has been conversation, and I think, honestly, this is sort of a theoretical conversation. I can't imagine that legislators in Minnesota are going to straight up ban guns at the Capitol, because I know there are a number of legislators who do carry at the Capitol, and I find it hard to believe. I had asked one of the legislators if they would be open to maybe a compromise where legislators were allowed to carry, but anybody coming into the Capitol was not. Well, I guess what is your thought? The most basic level would be the metal detector, right? Or the some sort of screening in some way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's twofold to that. One, there's numerous entrances to the Capitol. You've got a couple of tunnels. You've got the main entrance, of course. There's some key card access that, that people like lobbyists and staff have key cards for. My concern with any metal detector screening is that it turns into a bottleneck. Hundreds of organizations have rallies at the Capitol Rotunda every year. There are people who show up for legislative hearings. Sometimes there's a floor amendment that comes up that sparks controversy. And then without much warning, you've got several hundred people showing up at the Capitol all trying to be there by 1 p.m. for a floor session. And now they're being bottlenecked in. Regarding the firearm portion of it, you know, North Dakota has a model where only legislators can carry. Some states ban it altogether. Some states are like ours, where it's completely open. And then there's places like Texas, where if you've got a carry permit, you get to just go past the metal detectors. You know, you've already been background checked. You're already clear. Something like that, I don't think is necessary. You know, would be too restrictive from like a gun owner's perspective. I just fear that the burden of a long check line is going to chill people from being able to openly engage their government, their legislators, and participate in the legislative process.
Yeah, it is. It as always in these things, it's sort of a trade-off, as we talk with Rob Dorr, right? Like, what are you willing to give up? Are you willing, you know, is the sort of safety of legislators and of staffers working there, is that primary? Is it access? Is that primary? I mean, because unfortunately, like, something has to give a little bit on one of these sides, right? And so I do think, and I know from talking to legislators, there's fear right now. I mean, I think those elected officials and their staffers feel this assassination and the attempt in a, you know, in a more profound way than the rest of us who talk about it feel it. And I do think people do have a right to feel safe at their workplace, especially when they work for us, you know?
Right. But also, you know, the trade-off of that is a couple of things is, you know, unfortunately, these legislators weren't safe and it had nothing to do with the Capitol.
Yeah.
So while I understand
That's
the Capitol's
yeah.
part of the conversation is, you know, there maybe we need to assess, you know, things like they do for the federal legislators, you know, some of the protection measures that they have. But also is the Capitol is a traditional public forum. It is a place where people are supposed to be able to freely go assemble and share their ideas. And I'm not saying no security, but any security implementations have to recognize that the Capitol as a traditional public forum is that place where people should go with minimal encumbrances to be able to engage their legislators, rally with each other, participate in the process.
What about maybe, you know, checking your weapon? Like if you have, and obviously at a certain point, I'm just thinking about the physical plant of the Capitol. Some of these ideas become very difficult to implement. It's a historic building. As you said, it has a lot of entrances. You'd have to close down a bunch of entrances because you're not going to be able to afford to have security at all of those spots. You'd need almost like a Target Field style, like that sort of next gen security system where you kind of walk through a thing instead of like an airport style metal detector, right? Your bottleneck concern is a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, regarding checking weapons, I think, you know, that at a minimum would mitigate kind of the safety concerns. There's been many times where I've been at the Capitol until 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, especially as the end of session nears. And it's a long walk back to the parking areas. I mean, you've got an open air drug market that operates frequently within sites of the Capitol steps. Representative Dennis Smith was robbed at gunpoint on his way back from the Capitol. to his vehicle several years ago. The danger doesn't just extend to, as far as from a self-defense perspective within the walls. I think if there was sufficient securities within the four walls of the Capitol, that might be a reasonable compromise. But then I think we run into that question of, should people themselves, lawful citizens who have their permits to carry, should they be the ones that have to, you know, check their guns?
Yeah. I mean, it is always the law-abiding citizen that gets asked to sacrifice because of one madman or crazy person or whatever we want to characterize this as. But it is a tough challenge. It's a tough balance. I get it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there are things that can be done to secure it. They just need to be mindful. I just imagine, you know, my worst case scenario is somebody comes up to engage their legislator, participate in a hearing from a First Amendment perspective, and they look at a long line and they just turn around and decide that they're not going to do it. You know, I think it's just detrimental to our representative democracy.
Rob Doerr is a senior vice president of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, talking about First Amendment concerns here, as well as the Second Amendment. Always appreciate your perspective, Rob. Everybody should read your piece in the paper. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Anytime.
Very good. Smart guy. Like, I always like hearing from Rob. Because, you know, we all have our ideas as to what we should do. And let's be honest, Rob knows more about this than I do. Doesn't mean he's right always, but he does know more about it than I do, for sure. Let's break. When we come back, I went to Costco today and live to tell the story.